Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Market View, and it's market wrap of the week with Jeff Howie, market strategist at the SGX today. But before we get him on, let's just take a quick look at how Singapore shares are faring at the moment. Singapore shares, they started trading in slightly negative territory earlier this morning following mixed trading sessions in the US and Europe. And it's about 1:08 p.m. at the moment. And taking a look at the Straits Times Index now, it's currently a little below the flat line. It's at 0.01% at 3,274 points. Advancers, though, are leading the pack. Advancers at 259 to decliners at 204 after 619 million securities worth 449 million Singapore dollars changed hands so far. So without further ado, let's invite Jeff Howie, market strategist at the SGX. Jeff, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Hong Bin.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, to you as well.
Okay, so Jeff, you know, Singapore shares, they opened slightly down in the red this morning and they're a bit flat right now. How did the STI fare this past week?
Yeah, well, it's added around 0.8% so far this week. So it takes the STI rebound a little further because, remember, it did rebound 3.5% last week.
Right.
So Monday morning, it was trading around the 32.30 level. And it's since made its week-to-date high yesterday at around 32.80. But this index, it did find some resistance in the high 32.70s back in mid-June. So it has spent much of the last 2.5 sessions pretty much marking time around this level, as you mentioned.
Okay. So who were the biggest movers on the STI this week?
For the gainers, it's been Semcorp Industries, followed by the three banks, OCBC, UOB and DBS. And then on the decliners, you've got Venture, Jardine Cycle and Hong Kong Land leading the decliners. So the bank gains, they were fairly symmetrical, with UOB up 2.9% and both UOB and DBS both up 2.3%. And that pretty much follows in line with its peers in the US, which have recently been reporting.
Okay. I also want to talk about Netlink NBN Trust, which 6 years ago, in fact, it listed on the SGX as the biggest listing. Now, 6 years later, Jeff, how is it faring?
Well, it's a business trust, and we have a few business trusts listed on Singapore Exchange. These are really business enterprises, if you will, that are set up as trusts instead of companies, but really they're hybrid type structures with elements of both companies and trusts. And since listing, if you look at the returns of Netlink, it has delivered investors 6.5% annualized total returns since listing. It does maintain a 6% trailing dividend yield, and that focus on dividends has also seen the trust pay $1.1 billion in distributions since it did IPO 6 years ago. Now, that 6% yield, it does represent 300 basis point yield spread over the Singapore government 10-year bond yield. And the stock also does rank among our top 50 by market capitalization, in addition to day-to-day turnover. And it has this vision to be the leading telecommunications infrastructure provider here in Sing. It's trading at around 86 cents per unit. And on our stock screener on the SGX website, the 12-month consensus target price, I think, is around 98 cents. So it's also trading at 1.29 times its book value, and that's a marginal premium to its price-to-book ratio over the last 5 years, which is 1.25 times. But for its last FY, which actually ends in March, which ended in March, I should say, its revenue was up 7% year on year. The company is also, the business trust is also very active on the investor relations front. So you can see a lot of information on how the business has been investing in its network assets to cater for growing end user demand, which includes the residentials, the non-residentials, and also what they refer to as these non-building address points, which really are lampposts, mobile base stations, etc., for this fibre cable provider. I should also mention management has noted that the IMDA's ongoing review of the terms and conditions, which includes its prices for Netlink services that it offers under its business, is expected to be completed sometime this year. But I think back in May, it was DBS that noted that it expects the regulatory weighted average cost of capital for Netlink, for Netlink to be raised by around 30 to 50 basis points for the review period, and that's due to the sharp rise in, of course, risk-free interest rates.
Okay. Looks like it is a good stock to look out for, Netlink NBN Trust. So now on to some earnings, Jeff. I mean, we've seen earnings from big names, including Tesla, Netflix, and Goldman Sachs this week. Any surprises there for you? I mean, how does this set the tone for how earnings season is going so far?
I think in this, in the age of persistent inflation, decelerating growth, these and the better-than-expected first-quarter earnings in the U.S., I think markets are most sensitive to the outlook for declines in margins. I mean, Tesla provided this guidance that factory upgrades could reduce production in what is becoming a more and more competitive electronic vehicle industry. Netflix also saw a decline in revenue despite more subscribers on their new password policies. But there's still much to go. I mean, you've still got, I think, 160 S&P 500 stocks reporting next week. Consumer discretionary tech will also, and car makers will also take focus then as well. But looking at the banks, I mean, Goldman Sachs numbers were in line with expectations, but there's, as they flagged, ongoing challenges in investment banking and obviously the slowdown we've seen in global trading activity. And they also did have their pivot away from consumer banking. But when you look at the banks like JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, they've beaten expectations on net interest income and net interest margin. Mm-hmm. However, growing their loan book remains more of a challenge. So they're the banks that have been moving this week that I think have provided that bid tone somewhat for our three banks, which, as I said before, have been kind of symmetrical in their returns between 2 to 3% so far this week. But overall, it's been mixed, Hongbin, but there's still ways to go for the season. And as I said, we've got 160 S&P stocks reporting again next week.
Right. And here in Asia too, TSMC posted a smaller than expected profit decline after the global artificial intelligence development boom outweighed a persistent slump in smartphone demand. So despite the slump in earnings, can TSMC become a heavyweight in the global race to develop next-generation AI?
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. Because for the right here and now, the semiconductor industry globally, it has had to contend, I guess, with this inventory correction that began in the second half of last year. And then you've had the persistent inflation and decelerating growth further reducing consumer electronics demand. So there's this element of overcapacity and a chip glut, if you will, this year. And you have to juxtapose that with this potential demand for semiconductors and semiconductor services that's going to be spurred on by artificial intelligence applications next year and the year after. Mm-hmm. So I think Gartner did spell it out pretty well back in April. It stated that the memory industry is dealing with overcapacity and excess inventory, and that's continuing to put significant pressure on the average selling prices this year. But with the memory market projected to total something like $92 billion US dollars next year, or this year, that represents a decline of 35% this year. Mm-hmm. But it is on pace to rebound next year with a 70% increase.
Okay.
So there's the thing. And AEM has also noted that its inventory levels are reducing and inventory corrections are expected to conclude in late this year, early next year, when it last reported. That's what AEM noted.
Okay. So, I mean, the AI frenzy also seems to be making some headlines here in Singapore. I saw that the government is also building a suite of productivity tools for the public service, similar to the popular chatbot ChatGPT. How big do you see AI moving markets here in Singapore?
Yeah, well, it's I think definitely moving the economy and a part of the markets. I mean, we saw our preliminary GDP report last week, and that showed that you had growth in the information and communication sector in Singapore, supported by this continued strong demand for IT and digital solutions. And as a service-producing industry, information and communication now makes up around 6% of Singapore's GDP, up from around 4% 5 years ago. And what I think's really interesting in terms of this digital services, that if the G7 was based on the largest exporters of digitally delivered services.
Mm-hmm.
Singapore would be very close to entering the G7. It would sit just outside it because it's also the eighth largest exporter of digitally delivered services, well, it was last year, and that's on the back, obviously, of digital communication also taking a significant lead in all the patent publications in both Singapore and across ASEAN in recent years.
Okay. So, Jeff, are there any, you know, Singapore-listed stocks that investors here can tap into this AI frenzy as well?
Yeah, it's looking at what the actual companies here are saying and the guidance they're giving and how they weave AI into their outlooks. For instance, you know, AEM Holdings is our most traded semiconductor service stocks. It maintained in the first half of this year that looking beyond this year, they actually noted that the future of the semiconductor industry has never actually been more promising. They stated that the recent excitement over generative AI, such as ChatGPT, was actually fueling the demand for AI-focused semiconductor devices to be able to enable these solutions to be delivered at masses at economic feasible rates is therefore the charter of these service companies or big part of their business. But at the same time, as I said, we have got the glut of 2023. So AEM target revenue guidance is at around $500 million this year. Mm-hmm. It may be revised up or down at the next time it reports. But that's after they did post their highest annual revenue ever at $870 million last year. And I think another stock, UMS, has also relayed back in the first half of this year of what the Semiconductor Industry Association's global association has said in terms of despite the current short-term cyclical downturn, that long-term outlook for semiconductor market does remain strong due to this ever-increasing role of chips in powering critical technologies.
Okay. And now moving on to some news on the economic front, Jeff. To start the week, we saw the Nodex numbers out on Monday, and it did extend a ninth consecutive slump. Jeff, will we be able to see a recovery by the end of this year? I mean, what do you make of the numbers?
Well, like you said, that present down cycle, it has racked up those nine straight months of contraction. That's been since October last year.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, we had 22 months of consecutive expansion. This is really much to do with technology, as well as China's move to a services-led recovery, as well as global growth. So it's coincided as well with South Korea exports also in contraction since October, Taiwan exports also in contraction since September. So contraction to exports in the US in June for Singapore did indicate overall Nodex outlook is hinging more on the outlook for weaker global demand, which obviously translates to weaker global growth and trade. And the current export outlook is weighed not just to the electronics cluster, but much of the manufacturing clusters as well. So you're seeing not just the electronics in this downturn, but you're seeing it also across the different manufacturing segments as well. So that means that next week we will have a big number. It will be on Wednesday at lunch, 1 p.m., that's the industrial production for June for Singapore. So I think Bloomberg expects a contraction between 6 and 7% versus an 11% contraction in May. But like Nodex, our industrial production has also been in contraction since October. But keep in mind, our stock market obviously has not just a number of Singapore players and Southeast Asia players. It's very diversified. When you look at those 110 stocks that do have manufacturing activity, you've got a benchmark index, manufacturing index there that's actually generated a marginal 1% total return so far this year. Those three largest weights of the index, NEO, ST Engineering and Yangtze Jiang, have actually averaged total returns in the vicinity of 10% for the year to date. But we started the week with that weaker number, so they've actually averaged declines in the vicinity of 1% so far this week.
I see. I shall look out for those numbers. It is at 1 p.m., so it's when I start my show, so I will be the first one to report
on
that. Okay, looking ahead next week as well, of course, it's that long-awaited U.S. Fed interest rate decision where, you know, many market watchers, they are already, you know, expecting a hike of 25 basis points, and they They do kind of expect this to be the last one. So could this be the last one based on the economic data that we've seen in the past several days? What are you expecting, Jeff?
Yeah, there's a 25% chance it's not the last one. So we are at 100%, definitely at 100% expectations for a 25 basis point hike next week. But this is the first of the remaining four. So there's still that 25% expectation that Fed funds rate could actually go into 2024 with rates at 5.5% to 5.75%. So PCE core deflator, it does really remain the core gauge to watch, which can influence those expectations. That will be due after the FOMC. That's next Friday night. And the expectations, though, are pretty good. Expectations out of that core will come down to 4.2% in June. That's down from 4.6% in May, and that would be the lowest year-on-year print since 3.9% in September 2021. So all eyes will be on that on Friday night, very soon after the FOMC.
Okay. So other than this, is there anything else investors should be looking out for next week, Jeff?
Yeah, we've got CPI next week in Singapore, apart from NotEx. Keppel DC REIT also reports on Monday. And then you've got Keppel REIT, Mapletree Logistics Trust on Tuesday. Wednesday, you've got more REITs, Mapletree Industrial Trust, Suntec REIT among them. Thursday, we've got UOB reporting before the open, as well as Keppel Corp and Singapore Airlines after the close on Thursday. Okay. And then on Friday, Seatrium will also be reporting before the open.
It looks like it's another heavy week there. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jeff, for joining me today.
Thanks, Hongbin. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Jeff Howie, market strategist at the SGX. I'm Hongbin Jung, and this has been Market View with your market wrap of the week. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.